take your Bibles, and we're going to go to, again, Book of Hebrews, but let me kind of share a little bit what's on my heart first before we turn there. And so title of this afternoon's message, We Can Only Conform So Much. We can only conform so much, and it kind of brought to my heart even what was shared with what's happening with like the Gardner family in Uganda, or different, Christians going through hard times. And I'm just so blessed to hear of the missionary saying once he is able to, he wants to go back to the mission field and serve there, continually faithfully serving there, even though that's where he lost his wife and, was hit hard with this tragedy. It really reminded me just what a joy it is for Christians, for you and I, to have our hearts established by grace. Not with meats, of course, we'll get to that. But if I can kind of take a step back, if we grew up Jewish, okay, we're not, but if we did grow up in a Jewish family, as a child, we would have been taught at an early age all the dozens of dietary laws that the Jews had to observe, okay? They had clean animals, they had unclean animals, which for a foodie, a food person like me, that can be disappointing. If I want to eat something and then mom kind of slaps my wrist, nope, that's unclean. I go, oh, that looks so good. Okay, but the idea is growing up Jewish, of course, they are taught from the Torah, from the law of Moses, the law of God, what is a clean and unclean animal, what can be eaten, what can't be eaten. If an animal was cloven footed, and so, its feet were hoofed but split into twos, and if it chewed the cud. And so, in other words, if it regurgitated a portion of what it had eaten before and then chewed it again before they would eat it for real, then it's considered clean, okay? And if not, then it's unclean. And you got to be watchful. They had to meet both those criteria. So, for example, a camel, even though it chewed the cud, they're always kind of chewing the cud, yeah, not cloven-footed, and so it's considered unclean. At the same time, the swine, the pig, even though the pig was cloven-footed, it didn't chew the cud, so also considered unclean. And then you have birds and the fish and different things like that. And so you have this whole list of what you can't eat, what you can eat, the rules of what it all entailed to be a Jewish person growing up. And then these dietary laws, it came to be because it showed God's holiness and then his desire for his children, the nation of Israel, to also be holy. And it showed that they belonged to him. He was their God. They were his people. But to too many Israelites, over time, these dietary laws, these rules, okay, what they can eat, what they couldn't eat, became such a point of emphasis that being a Jew really wasn't about knowing God anymore. It was that they couldn't eat pork. I can see myself, if I, as much as I love food, if someone asked me, hey, what is it like being a Jewish boy? Well, man, I couldn't eat pork. I couldn't eat bacon. I couldn't eat sausage. All the stuff that I want to eat. And their law became a point of pride. How many laws can you follow? Kind of equals how close you were to God. And it also became a stumbling block, ultimately, for Israel to actually reject Jesus Christ. Because years later, the law became a veil over their hearts that when Jesus Christ came, they didn't want to receive him. And so what happened, Israel had allowed their hearts to be established by what the Bible calls meats, or their laws, their dietary laws, and then some, the rules of being Jewish, instead of being established in their hearts by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the same can happen to Christians today. It's easy for us as Christians to let, quote-unquote, rules of being a Christian kind of define us or maybe establish us instead of our personal relationship with God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And kind of got me thinking, maybe you can ask a young person, a young Christian, what does it mean to you to be a Christian? And what would a young person say? Would it mean, would they say, well, to be a Christian means we got to go to church every Sunday, or I got to read my Bible every day, or I'm supposed to thank God before every meal, I got to dress up for church, otherwise dad will get mad, and rules, rules, and more rules. If that's how we're thinking, well, we're missing the boat. Because being a Christian is not about rules. It's about knowing God. Because rules can and do conform us. But only God's grace transforms us. And so let's go to Hebrews 13. It's all to lead us up to this verse. Hebrews 13. And this kind of got me thinking of this missionary family in going to Uganda, this dear brother, where if his heart was not established by grace, he'll be tapping out. If it was only established by meats, rules. Rules are good, don't get me wrong. But rules can only go so far. There has to be a greater purpose. And the God behind the rules is who we want to know. And so let's go to Hebrews 13. Let's go to verse 9. Now, he speaks about strange doctrine, okay? So it also refers to possibly some corrupted, perverted, additional dietary laws, or maybe there's some new doctrine that comes in that's completely unrelated to Scripture. So that, of course, is a stumbling block and a distraction. But also just the dietary laws in general. But let's go to verse 9, Hebrews 13. It says, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be back in thy house this afternoon, Father, to hear more of your word. And Father, just speak to hearts even now. Help us, Lord, to establish our hearts by grace and not by meats, you know, rules or just standards, things like that. Lord, help us to truly focus on you, and Lord, that we would be firm in our faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we love you. Bless this time in the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if I could start off by giving an oversimplified generalization just to emphasize a point. From this context here, there are kind of two kinds of Christians out there. You have those that their hearts are established by meats. You know, they can be experts in Christian rules, the do's and the don'ts of being a Christian. They might have a verse to back up every standard in the Bible, okay? And they might sincerely mean well, but they're certainly very occupied therein. And then you have Christians whose hearts are established by grace. In other words, a deep relationship with God through Jesus Christ that starts with salvation, of course, by grace through faith, and then grows from there. And this verse warns against false and strange doctrine, anything contrary to the Word of God, but even the misapplication of the Word of God, you know, and many of the Hebrews in this book, okay, book to the Hebrews, were still hung up on their strict dietary laws to gain God's favor. And again, possibly there were even some false doctrine that kind of crept into the church here. But either way, these meats or these rules had superseded a living relationship with God. And that's not what, you know, that's not what we should hang our hat on. And again, little disclaimer, you know, rules, standards, okay, these are not bad. In fact, the Bible does tell us as we run our race, as we strive for the masteries, we have to do it. We have to be crowned if we strive what? Lawfully. So we need to know the rules. Don't get me wrong. We need to do the rules. We need to obey the rules. But rules only get us so far, and we can only conform so much. If you want to think of an athlete who wins Olympic gold, okay, if you imagine someone that wins Olympic gold and they get kind of interviewed after that, and they say, "Hey, you came in and you won Olympic gold. This is your fourth time winning it." Okay, they've been competing it for four Olympics, so that's 16 years, right? 12 years, you know. You won your Olympic gold four times. You've broken the world record. What was your motivation? How did you do it? Do you ever hear an athlete saying, "Oh, I just love the rules so much"? Like, no. He's got to know the rules to run the race. That's not wrong. But the motivation, the establishing of his heart was not on the rules. It was something greater. Maybe the athlete would say, "Well, it was my dad's dying wish that I would give my all, so I'm running the race for him." You know, it was a greater purpose, more than just the rules, right? And that would be what the athlete would say. And so when we run our race, we need to know the rules and what the Word of God says, but our heart needs to be established by the living relationship with God, not the dietary laws, not the rules or the standards of being a Christian. And I think even of myself, or at least within our church circles, you know, Baptist churches, and maybe especially fundamental ones, can be guilty of overemphasizing rules over a relationship with God. Perhaps because rules are more external. You know, you can't see the heart, but you can see the rules, so it's easier to enforce the rules. I think even of parenting, it's easy for parents, at least easier for parents to enforce the rules that are external as opposed to the heart condition, right? You know, I want you to pray every morning, read your Bible every day. And those are not bad things, those are good things. But remember when Peter denied the Lord three times, and when Jesus restored Peter, Jesus didn't tell Peter, "Peter, don't deny me." He didn't say that, even though that's, of course, what Peter shouldn't do, is to not deny, you know, don't deny Christ. But Jesus didn't say, "Peter, don't deny me." Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me? Because if you love the Lord, obviously you're not going to deny him." And it's a reminder for even me as a parent that my children, yes, I get it, there's rules and standards that we have, and we all should have them. But the end game, the result, is I want the heart of my children to be established by grace, a relationship with God, not just these rules. Rules will only take you so far. I want your heart to be established by Jesus Christ himself, not by Dad. Don't do it because Dad wants you to do it. Do it because you want to do it, because the Lord wants you to do it, because you have the love for the Lord. If you look at verse 8, same chapter 13, look at verse 8. Jesus Christ is same yesterday and today and forever. The idea is, yes, Jesus is he's eternal as the Son of God. But the emphasis in verse 8 is that salvation through Jesus Christ by God's grace through faith has always been God's plan. Always been. The gospel wasn't plan B. It's always been the one and only plan. And so the idea of these dietary laws, or any of the laws for that matter, was to always point the sinner to Jesus Christ, is to point us to him. And don't miss Jesus Christ for his law. The law shows his holiness, but it's to direct us to the person of Jesus Christ. If you go to Luke chapter 18 with me, a wonderful and powerful, it's sad how it plays out, but this is a very wonderful story of the rich young ruler. And of course, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And of course, we're all sinners in need of God's grace. But rules can only take us so far. So here's a kind of a living example of how this plays out in real time, in real life. So Luke 18, let's go to verse 18. Here's the rich young ruler. Now, he knows all the rules, so let's see what happens here. But his heart is not established by grace. It's by these rules. And so verse 18, "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is, God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy mother, father and thy mother.' And he said, 'All these have I kept from my youth up.'" Which is impressive. He knows all the rules and he's kept all the rules. "And he said, and now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, 'Yet lackest thou one thing.'" And so Jesus is going to put his heart to the test. What is his heart really like? What is his heart established with? Is it a relationship with God? Or true grace, or is it just these rules? "Sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Of course, he walked away. Now, what's so sad about this story is, you know, yes, and this is, a, you know, this is an application about salvation, how we get saved, but it certainly applies to our walk with God. And some Christians can be experts in all these Christian rules, you know, exactly what they can and cannot do. Can legalists, if you will. But without a strong, intimate relationship with God, they will only go so far. When the ask comes, when the ask is too much, when it pushes them out of the comfort zone, when they've really done so much and they feel, oh, I don't know if I want to give any more. It's love and grace that will push us beyond ourselves. Knowing all the rules and the standards can only conform us so much. We need to be transformed by the grace of God. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Through Jesus Christ, our relationship with God is through the Son of God, not through rituals, not through rules, and certainly not through dietary restrictions. So let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. And this is our liberty and freedom in Christ. The Old Testament laws, the feasts, the rituals, they're all pointers to Jesus Christ. But the church, amen, was birthed from Jesus Christ and is God's present will for us. So let's go to Colossians 2. Let's go to verse 16. And the Word of God says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the things to come." They weren't bad, but it was meant to point us towards Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, but the body, which is presently today the church, is of Christ. It was birthed and founded, started by Jesus Christ. And so that's God's will for us today. You know, the Bible is not just a rule book. And don't read it as a rule book. It is the voice of the living God. Don't let your heart be established only by meat. Let's go back to Hebrews 13. We kind of wrap it up here. Let's go back to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and in verse 8 and 9, we just read that. Let's go to verse 10. "We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. On the Day of Atonement," preached about that this morning, "the sacrificial goat couldn't be eaten, but was to be burned without the camp." And so the idea is certainly if the sacrificial goat was burned without the camp and no one ate it, certainly getting close to God is not through dietary laws. Okay, it's not true by rules. Verse 11, "For the bodies of those beasts," that's the sin offering, the goat, "whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, is burned without the camp," entirely, completely, no one ate it. "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." The altar of Christ's sacrifices is infinitely greater than the altar of the animal sacrifices. And so now that we have freedom in Jesus Christ, this is what the law has fulfilled. The law, the purpose of the law is to bring us to Jesus Christ and is to show us our need for a Savior. It's not for us to establish our hearts because we need God's grace. The law only shows me as a sinner that comes short of the glory of God. If our hearts are established by grace as God desires, then by God's, well, Lord willing, if Jesus would say to you and I, "Hey, I want you to forsake it all and live for me and come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Think of what happened with Peter, James, and John, you know, and Andrew. They gave it all up. You think of Matthew or Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and here comes Jesus saying, "Come, follow me." And Matthew, by the way, he had it kind of made, right? You know, he didn't have a blue-collar job like Peter as a fisherman. You know, he was in white-collar crime, right? No, he was an IRS agent. You know, he's sitting there and had a pretty good job as a publican, yet he left it all to follow Jesus. And so may our hearts truly be established. Everyone's heart is established by something, right? As Christians, we want it to be established not by rules, but by God's grace. That's a relationship with God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a reminder, Lord. May our hearts truly be established, Lord, by grace, not by meats. Lord, that we draw close to you every year, every day, in this coming year, 2026, if the Lord Jesus Christ would tarry his return. And Father, we ask again that, Lord, that we would seek to do your will, Lord, and that when the asks come, perhaps to give something up, to try a little harder, to run our race, Lord, that our purpose won't just be the rules, it will be you. You will be our reason, Lord. And Father, we love you. We ask, Father, that you draw us closer to you, strengthen our heart with you, Lord. And we are assured by your promise in your word that when we draw nigh to you, you will draw nigh to us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.